You're listening to SBS News.
The global energy system is broken and bringing us ever closer to climate catastrophe. Fossil fuels are a dead end, environmentally and economically. The war in Ukraine and its immediate effects on energy prices is yet another wake-up call. The only sustainable future is a renewable one.
It was a grim Antonio Guterres who addressed the United Nations, reacting to an even grimmer situation. The UN Secretary General was warning nations that environmental disaster was looming, following the publication of the World Meteorological Organization's latest State of the Climate report, which found the last 7 years to be the hottest on record, with new benchmarks reached in 2021.
Today's State of the Climate report is a dismal litany of humanity's failure to tackle climate disruption. Sea level rise, ocean heat, greenhouse gas concentrations, and ocean acidification set alarming new records in 2021.
Countries around the world are feeling the heat. WMO Secretary General Pateri Talas says that southern Italy, Canada, Spain, and Turkey all broke heat records during the previous summer, telling the UN there has been little improvement despite the COVID-induced lockdowns of the last 2 years.
We have broken records in main greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane and nitrous oxide, and especially the record in carbon dioxide is striking. We haven't seen any improvement despite of the lockdowns caused by COVID in 2020. So the concentration still continue growing.
The UN Secretary General Special Advisor on Climate Action, Selwyn Hart, pointed out that many of these impacts are being felt the hardest by developing nations.
These impacts are unevenly distributed. And if you're living in Central America, South America, Central, East or West Africa, South Asia, or in a small island developing state, you're 15 times more likely to die from a climate-related impact or a climate-related weather extreme.
Exceptional heat waves also broke records across North America, with Death Valley in California reaching 54.4 degrees Celsius in July of last year, a value seen in 2020 and the highest since at least the 1930s. The health impacts of a rapidly warming planet are stark. Extreme weather events causing destruction of homes and displacement of people, and rampant food insecurity, which US Secretary of State Antony Blinken says is already being felt.
We meet during what is the greatest global food security crisis of our time. It's a crisis that we all know has been building for years, driven in part by the pandemic, driven by an accelerating climate crisis. Between 2016 and 2021, the number of people living in acute food insecurity, the level when a person's inability to consume adequate food puts their lives or livelihoods in immediate danger, that has skyrocketed from 108 million people to 161 million people around the world.
Germany's Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock echoing that statement.
The bitter truth is that the global food crisis will not be solved overnight. That's why we must focus on all the factors contributing to hunger. We must tackle the climate crisis. We must help farmers become less vulnerable to droughts, floods, and extreme rains.
However, there's been little to no response from the Australian government on this damning new report. SBS News reached out to the Federal Environment Minister, Susan Lee, but she was unavailable for comment. Richard Merzian is the inaugural Climate and Energy Program Director at Canberra think tank The Australia Institute. A former Australian government representative to the UN Climate Change Conference, he spent nearly a decade working with domestic and international climate and energy agendas.
These are very worrying trends. We're going to be hitting tipping points which you can't sail back from. And this is why it's the decisive decade. This is why what we do in the next 8 years is far more important than what we do in 20 to 30 years. And it's why, as Australia decides on its approach to climate at the national level in the next couple of days, you have to look at what short-term impacts different parties and different candidates are proposing. and whether that aligns up with the science to avoid dangerous climate change, which we can see from this WMO report is accelerating.
As Australia heads to the polls this weekend, he told SBS News what he thinks will be the best political outcome to get Australia to start delivering on climate.
If you're looking at it solely from the lens of what does the science require to avoid dangerous climate change, it requires immediate short-term climate action, and the Greens have a plan to reduce emissions by 75% this decade. So the Greens have the strongest policy there, followed closely by some of the independents that are funded by C200. They have targets of 60% emissions reductions this decade. If you had a mix of the Greens and some of these independents as part of a minority government, most likely with Labor, because they have the next best target at 43% emissions reductions this decade, then you'd have the right mix for the most ambitious policy in the short term that would help Australia do its fair share to avoid dangerous climate change.
His assessment, however, on the Liberal National Coalition is less than complimentary.
The Morrison government haven't updated their short-term climate target. It's the same one that they put forward ahead of the Paris Agreement over 7 years ago, despite the science showing that we need to take urgent and immediate and ambitious action, despite most of Australia's allies all significantly increasing their short-term action. And even at COP26 in Glasgow, which I attended, the Australian government was directly asked to increase its target. That is the direction given by the UN. It refused to do so. And so really, if you elect a Morrison government, you're going to get more of the same.
A harsh indictment as Australia's climate future hangs in the balance. Tina Quinn, SBS News.